podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to In the News with me, Anvita Bansal. Today is January 16, 2020, and I'll be bringing you all the latest updates from India and around the world. But before that, a small note on our Money Control app. The Money Control app gives readers content in English, Hindi, and Gujarati. Do download the app and check out the language option now. Coming back to our top stories for the day. The entire Russian government has called it quits from their respective positions along with the Prime Minister as President Vladimir Putin suggested some constitutional changes. We'll discuss. Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal said Amazon is not doing India a favor by investing $1 billion. Following that, we'll discuss the Supreme Court dismissed adjusted gross revenue review petitions filed by the telecom companies. And lastly, we'll discuss how Indian cricketer Mahendra Singh Dhoni is not included in BCCI's annual contract list. On our first story, we discuss Russian President Vladimir Putin suggested constitutional changes. The Russian government called it quits from their respective positions along with the Prime Minister. To give us more details on this, I have with me Money Control's Ruchira. Ruchira, can you please give us more insights on the story?
The Russian government along with the Prime Minister resigned yesterday, which was around last night in India. This was after Russian President Vladimir Putin gave a State of the Union kind of address. And he said that he wants to shift the power from the presidency to the parliament. There is speculation that this could help seal his power even after 2024. Vladimir Putin just got re-elected as Russian president in 2019 and his term ends in 2024. But if the changes he has proposed go through, it might secure his position in the Russian government. Vladimir Putin has appointed Mikhail Mishustin, who headed Russia's tax service, as the prime ministerial candidate. And Russia's ruling party, which is called United Russia, has approved this nomination. This nomination is pending, of course, formal approval of the Russian parliament. Another interesting thing is that Dmitry Medvedev, who resigned as prime minister, has been given the position of head of the Russian Security Council. Medvedev and Putin have been allies for a long time. Even when Putin could not be re-elected for a third term, as the Russian constitution forbids, Medvedev was the president then, and it is widely believed that Putin was pulling the strings even then. So in this new scenario, Medvedev will have a more behind-the-scenes role.
Right. Ruchira, what kind of constitutional changes did he talk about?
So some of the changes that have been proposed in the Russian constitution: limiting the supremacy of international law, amending the rules that limit presidents to two consecutive terms, and strengthening laws that prohibit presidential candidates who have held foreign citizenship or foreign residency permits. Now, of course, for Putin, if the rule that prohibits a president from holding office for more than two consecutive terms, this would help him a lot. For instance, if this rule is changed in 2024, he would be able to stand for re-election.
Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal said Amazon is not doing India a favor by investing $1 billion. To give us more insights on this, I have with me Money Control's Siddhesh Raut. Hi Siddhesh, thank you for joining in.
Hi Anvita, thank you for having me.
Siddhesh, what was his statement referring to?
So the Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal had tweeted out on January 15th that investors in the e-commerce space should not be going about looking for loopholes in the existing framework and just follow the rules and regulations that are in place that regulate the e-commerce space. And I'll just give out what he said in a tweet, and I quote, "I have on more than one occasion said this to the people of India and to all investors, that to please follow the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And this is very incidental because his statements come around the time when Amazon's CEO, Jeff Bezos, had come to India just yesterday on the 15th of January. He goes on to say in another tweet, "Our government has allowed e-commerce entities to come to India under the marketplace model. As long as everyone follows the rules, we welcome e-commerce in India and they're happy to trade and serve the people of India." Just to put these tweets in context, the Competition Commission of India said that it will probe into the alleged discounts that Amazon had offered that was putting a lot of small businesses on the short end of the stick. And a lot of these small traders and small trader unions had protested against these e-commerce companies like Amazon and Flipkart, saying that there was no level playing field because these two e-commerce giants were offering discounts which these small traders could not have matched.
Right, Sadesh. As you mentioned that Jeff Bezos visited India yesterday, what was the highlight of his visit?
Well, Jeff Bezos had yesterday announced that the company will commit $1 billion worth of investments into India and its e-commerce space. He'll plan to do this by digitizing India's small and medium-sized business enterprises, and he had also set a target of exporting $10 billion worth of goods from India.
Moving on to our next story, the Supreme Court has dismissed review petitions filed by telecom companies with respect to AGR wording. Sidesh, what is the next step for these companies?
Well, Anvita, just to give you some background, the Supreme Court has dismissed the review pleas that are filed by telecom companies where they were seeking relief from having to pay interest payments and dues in connection to the Supreme Court's verdict on the adjusted gross revenue. Now, the deadline for telecom companies to meet the license due fees as per the AGR judgment is the 23rd of January. And these companies, however, are free to file curative petitions against the dismissal of these review petitions.
Right, Sadesh. How does this affect the companies?
So while these telecom companies had filed review petitions that were seeking to get the court to review its judgment on the AGR case, this means for the time being, up until they file the curative petitions, these companies would now have to pay dues totaling to 1.47 lakh crore in total for all the telecom companies.
Right.
So there were reports that now that the AGR judgment has been passed, even non-telecom PSUs or public sector undertakings like GAIL, DMRC, Power Grid and RailTel will be affected as the Department of Telecommunications, which had given the suggestion to the Supreme Court concerning this AGR, had now sought these companies for the repayment of AGR fees dues and they would likely file fresh review pleas. It's also seen that the total amount that these non-telecom PSUs would have to pay a total of 4.6 lakh crore rupees.
Right, Sadesh. How has companies responded to these developments?
Well, Bharti Airtel has expressed its disappointment at the court's decision and it said that the long-standing disputes that were raised with respect to the AGR definition were, and I quote, bona fide and genuine, end quote. They've also said that the industry continues to face a lot of financial stress and that the latest decision on the matter could further erode the viability of the entire telecom sector.
It's
a very strongly worded statement over there that expresses disappointment. And well, they also need to continuously expand networks, acquire spectrum and introduce new technology like 5G, which is said to be the future of data. So all these investments are going to take a lot of capital. And the company said that the money which will now have to be used to pay these dues is going to be possibly transferred from these investments towards the payment of these dues. And as a result of which, the telecom sector as a whole felt that this money could have been better served India's digital vision. So Bharti Airtel also said that it's considering to file a curative petition.
Right. One last question, Sadesh. What is the AGR issue?
So the adjusted gross revenue was a form of revenue that was disputed by the telecom companies and the Department of Telecommunications. And Department of Telecommunications felt that all non-telecom related revenues are also to be taxed, or rather they are also to be charged, and a fee should be collected from them for earning these non-telecom related revenue. And this is where the adjusted gross revenue comes into the picture. The telecom companies for the longest time stated that they felt that the revenues earned from telecom revenues should only be considered to be given to the government, or rather should be taxed. But finally, the Supreme Court had ruled in favor of the Department of Telecommunications ruling or suggestion that non-telecom revenue should also be part of this taxation. And as a result of which, these companies now have to pay fines.
Okay. Thank you so much, Siddesh, for all those details.
Thank you, Anvita.
On our last story, we discuss how Indian cricketer Mahendra Singh Dhoni is not included in BCCI's annual contract list. To give us more details on this, I have with me Money Control's Dustin Yad. Hi, Dustin. Thank you for joining in.
Thanks, Anvita.
Dustin, what does this mean for our ex-Indian captain?
Well, Anvita, as we know, Dhoni hasn't played cricket for India since the World Cup semi-final lost against New Zealand. And the BCCI only today came out with their central annual contract list, in which the most notable omission was MS Dhoni's name. So once again, this has raised alarm bells about, is Dhoni going to retire anytime soon?
Right.
We do know he retired from Test cricket in December 2014 and hasn't announced anything about his intentions, whether he wants to continue playing or whether he will be retiring soon. Now, the Indian head coach Ravi Shastri did mention recently that Dhoni might call quits on his ODI career.
Right.
But he said that he could still make the T20 squad should he have a good IPL season. So I guess we'll just have to wait and watch how this develops. The BCCI did come out with a clarification explaining that Dhoni was kept in the loop when they were drawing up contracts because he did not fit the minimum criteria of games required to be played before the contract list was drawn up. And they also did say that if they consider selecting Dhoni, he could be taken in on a pro rata basis. Now, I did speak to our group sports editor Gaurav Kalra over call. He was traveling, so he can't join us here today.
Right.
Asking him what's his take on this entire situation, and here's what he had to say.
I think it's a perfectly reasonable decision. I don't think that MS Dhoni himself would have expected to be included among the contracted players. This is for a period of 1 year. It starts, I think, in about September, and it goes on to the next year at the same time. And in the period that these contracts are in place, Dhoni hasn't played for India at all. Not only has he not played for India, he's not played any kind of competitive cricket since that World Cup semi-final. So what that clearly implies is that he is at the moment not an active cricketer. And by its very nature, I think we must take emotion out of this and understand the practicality of the situation. After all, this is a contract. So a contract between an employer and an employee. So the employee at the moment is not willing to offer the services that the employer is after and not available to offer those services. In that situation, there is simply no choice other than to exclude Dhoni from the list of contracted players. It doesn't mean that his international career is over. There are innumerable examples of players who were not contracted who have gone on to then be called up and played for India. And what all it means is that at this moment, the BCCI, he is not an active cricketer and he's not available to play for India. If that situation changes, so be it, and then he can make his way back into the contract.
And Gaurav, how likely do you think it is that we'll see Dhoni again play in the Blues of Team India? And what will Dhoni have to do to make that possible?
Well, you know, the beauty of sport is that sometimes scenarios that you imagine to be completely unlikely to take place. You know, you mean, for instance, you know, in the 4-year period, Roger Federer was written off that he was never going to win another slam. He's gone on to win several more after that. So in sport, the impossible does tend to happen. At this moment, it does seem very unlikely that MS Dhoni will play for India again. But, you know, he's someone who's proven critics wrong in the past and doubters wrong in the past. Clearly, Dustin, the way forward for Dhoni is to have a very, very good IPL, have an exceptional IPL. He puts himself in contention for a spot in that T20 World Cup in Australia if he has a very good IPL, because after all, it is a World Cup, he's got the experience. And if he shows form with the glove, I'm sure he'll be fine, but with the bat as well, then he can maybe leapfrog the other contenders. Remember now, he's in pretty much a flat-out race with several other players who are in contention for the same spot. Obviously, Rishabh Pant is the leading contender for that spot. But if you look at guys like KL Rahul, Sanju Samson, Ishan Kishan, if you want to look down that list, you can include MS Dhoni in that list. And he can definitely make an attempt to find his way back into the Indian scheme of things. However, I think it will be an uphill battle because by the time that World Cup comes around, he'll be 39 years old. And whether the selectors want to go back to him or they want to keep in the younger players that I've mentioned, we have to wait and see. My gut instinct, my feeling is that I think we've seen the last of MS Dhoni in international cricket. But then, like I said, miracles and odds and incredible things have happened many times in the past in sports.
Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In the News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, it's me, Anvita, signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you for listening.